I want to thank my friend Frank Caruso, who made time for me. His schedule, we had a guest schedule, and their schedule changed. They weren't able to join us, and I called Frank at the last minute, and he's like, "Give me 5 minutes. Let me see if I can." And you got to get me in this. Got to get you in the studio too. So I'm a happy guy.
Good to be here.
How you been?
Been fantastic.
Well, I follow you along Facebook, and I know you are a busy guy. You know, and what I really like about this. And I always admire people that put their money where their mouth is. And when I say money, time, effort, I mean, you are busy, man.
I'm gifted to have that time available right now to donate to others.
Right.
And you find those worthy causes, and you find those people that you enjoy working with.
Does it make you happy?
Very much so. It's very fulfilling.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. You and I have talked about this in the past. The day the light bulb goes on, bing, and you go, wow, it's not about me.
Absolutely. Service to others just really can find a spot in your heart that just grows and grows then.
Bald Knob Cross, what does it mean to people? There's a historic aspect. There's the first time your mom and dad takes you there, maybe the first time your sunrise service. Maybe you see it because it's something unique visually. It seems like when you look and talk to people about this, it means a little something unique and personal to each person.
Well, there are so many things that have occurred up at the cross for individuals. Maybe the salvation of a loved one. Maybe that quiet moment. You know, we call it Bald Knob Cross of Peace. Maybe just a moment with God. Weddings, proposals. We've seen everything up there. And those create memorable moments that you hold on to. And
touchstone
there's emotion.
Moments. Yep. You know, and I do see that, actually, because I think one of the things, oddly enough, is the nature of the trip up gives it a sense of pilgrimage.
I never thought of that. You have to slow down to get up there. You can't rush to the top. And once you're there, your whole spirit has changed on the ride up.
Right.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that before.
And more than once, I've said, do I want to take the time? Because the drive up there is, unique, and I just find that, for me to drive there, that's a good length of time and get back home again, and I find it rewarding.
Can you imagine what it was like traveling up to the cross 30 years ago?
1963.
50 years ago, back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. I'm trying to find information about that kind of travel, what that experience was. Haven't found it yet. I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah, somewhere. There's some historian that has this information. And then there's been a concerted effort, and I can't remember the exact date that I would call this, fundraising, a more unified board that represents the people and the action better and is more organized. And also, there had been this period of time where we took it for granted.
Mm.
That's what happened.
We did.
That's not an overstatement.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, not at all.
I didn't want to be disrespectful, but I got that feeling.
Yeah. Well, there were people who were putting their heart and soul into it, but it was a limited number of people.
Right.
And they weren't really good about asking for help. And the rest of us just knew, hey, this is a great place. And we just assumed somebody else would take care of it.
All right, now the sunrise service is really one of the biggest events of the year, the blessing of the bikes, but number one, I think, is the sunrise service.
Right.
Whenever I moved to Murfreesboro in 87, I knew about the academically, but what was incredible was I knew people that, suffice to say, they didn't go to church every week, but they did go to the Easter sunrise service. That was their event. They went. It was a tradition. It was, even if they'd stayed up all night, they still went to the, and that's, I know, is special.
It is. So many families raised their children, taking them up there back in the 60s, the 70s, and where there may have been a drift away from that church on Sundays, that event, the Sunrise Easter service, is just established in the core being of individuals. And even if the sun doesn't rise, we have some clouds, we don't see the sun. The experience, second to none.
It's the cross and the people that are there and the speakers. And by the way, Frank is the keynote speaker this year.
I'm honored. Actually, a little nervous. But
a little excited, though. But, I get it. Public speaking is, not everybody's cup of tea, right?
Well, I'm not in a studio where nobody can see me either.
No, that's how I get by. So it starts at the Welcome Center at?
Actually, the grounds open up 5:30 in the morning, even earlier. Christian Motorcyclist Association and others are going to help with the parking again. The actual event starts on the east side of the cross be down at the bottom of a hill on the east side.
Right,
there,
that's where the stage is.
Where the stage is, so you can see the sunrise. The event actually starts at 6:30 because sunrise is supposed to be about 6:45 or so.
Right.
We do have restroom. Yeah, we do have restrooms in the.
Brought extras in, did you?
What's that?
Brought extras in restrooms.
Oh,
have
yeah.
to, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
All right. So the service begins at 6:30. There's a greeting by Teresa Gilbert. She's the executive director of the Cross of Peace. Then you've got some music as well.
Yeah, and you won't have me singing in that music.
Okay. And so you've got Jance Curry Witzman, Mara Williams, and they're both from Murfreesboro, the soloists. And then Frank is going to be doing delivering the Easter message. You got a theme?
Yeah. What do we call Bald Knob? Bald Knob Mountain? I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, you're going to tease me.
I'm going to tease you a bit.
That's just
well,
me,
and what
you
is
know that.
Yeah, and what is Jesus? Jesus is the rock that moved the mountain.
Okay, so I can tell you, this is another one thing I can only tell Frank. I'm a big believer in metaphor. Work for Jesus, work for Abraham Lincoln, it'll work for me. You know, that's kind of always been my thought. Metaphor is a very powerful thing, and that's where I think I sense that you're going for this this coming Sunday. And I'm a firm believer in it. Shakespeare, by the way, also a big fan, so, you know, you're doing a pretty good job here. You also have bagpipes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that I noticed in several of the press releases. All right, now here's the thing. We talked about the road. The road probably took a beating the last couple of days.
Yes, it probably has.
Coming down the side and the erosion, Frank and I I spent a period of time as a member of the board for the Bald Knob Cross, and I wish I would have done more. It's everything I do, I'm like, I could have done better, should have done more, and I feel that way to this day. And one of the things, I was driving up there on a regular basis during the evening hours, and, you know, that erosion around the side. So if you are driving up, all right, be careful. But on the other hand, we've got a plan, and it's the shuttle, but we need your cooperation if you're going to go on Sunday, or you know somebody who is. We want you to pass this on to them.
Yeah, the shuttle is actually going to be leaving from the Walker Funeral Home there in Alto Pass. We have two times, 5:15 departure and 5:45. This, again, is a.m. departures. We do need some advance reservations on that, and you can call Tanya Walker at 618-713-8516. It's $5 a person, but that'll get you the ride up and the ride back to Walker's funeral home. Make it much easier for you. You won't have to worry about parking and walking across the hill with the wet grass and maybe some of the gopher holes and rises.
Probably moles.
Yeah, moles.
You know, them too. And Frank will save you a donut and a cup of coffee at the top of the hill.
Oh, yes. We're going to have coffee. We're going to have hot chocolate. We're going to have donuts. Come on up. Take that early route. And come up and enjoy some time.
Enjoy some time with Cross and enjoy the time with the people who are there. Easter sunrise service this Sunday with the shuttles at 5:15. The grounds will be open at 5. There is limited parking. And the parking, Frank, I'm feeling really kind of uneasy about the parking because I know that dirt in particular, it's kind of muddy clay. It likes to shift, even if you're on the grass on top of it, when it's been saturated like this. How are you going to control that?
Well, the hope is that we have limited rain today and tomorrow. That's going to be a key because the water really does drain off that hill very well. But we're just going to have to help people go down the paths that we're going to set up. We have a lot of volunteers that are going to help with the parking. It's the best option we have. Just people be careful.
Please.
And please take it easy.
So a blanket's probably not the way to go unless you go buy a blue tarp first.
You know what we have seen are people bring chairs and then they actually settle into a sleeping bag in that chair.
Yeah.
I would highly suggest that based on the weather.
Because, I was in the studio, right, with Frank when I'm reading the weather forecast and I read him that Saturday night low is 35 and his eyes go kind of really big there and going, yeah. But on the other hand, warm, you know, bring along the gear there. Like I said, sleeping bag in a lawn chair or, if you must, on the blanket because people bring coolers and a little bite to eat on for themselves sometimes because of the early hour. Throw down one of those $5 blue tarps and put your blanket on top of it.
Absolutely.
All right. You know, this is one of many events that go on at Bald Knob Cross, but I think when it gets right down to it, it's the blessing of the bikes. What's the date for 2018?
Sunday. April 29th.
Wow, it's coming right up.
It's coming right up. We're having our big training session for CMA in about a week and a half. And the T-shirts are out for sale right now and online. So everything's on play. We're ready to go.
All right, so keep that in mind. If there's one thing I do know, there's this is nonprofit, all right? And there's this constant need for one, for upkeep, growing the welcoming center, which I think is a really good idea.
Oh, it's been fabulous.
The idea that time had come, and there was an expectation there. I think I actually people saw get up there, and they were always expecting more.
Well, that's a fair statement.
Right, when it comes to the welcoming center, right? And, because there's so much history, there's a great opportunity here as well. And I think you guys at the board have recognized that, and you started growing the grounds.
Well, I have to give Teresa Gilbert just all kinds of accolades. She has worked above and beyond to get volunteers to man the Welcome Center. That's the key issue. Also to get volunteers of contractors that now have given us that outlook on the backside of the visitor center. Just a beautiful view to the south.
Yeah, it really
is. But the experience, we now have a history wall. We now have merchandise. All of that goes right back into the cross. It is a non-for-profit.
Right.
And that's the way we create those foundational moments in people's lives.
How do you do it? I mean, because I know that you've got a golf scramble that's going to be coming up, but that's not the only one. We talked about underappreciating at one point the history and the fact that it was even there. It became part of the landscape in the most literal of senses and psychologically speaking. And we took it for granted, unless you're a pilot, in which case you're struck every time. I know when my old buddy Chick from Chick's place in Marion, we took off from the airport at Carbondale. It's the first place we went.
Oh, really?
And, when you look at it from the plane, the hair's coming out of my arm just thinking about it. Of course, I was in the plane with Chick, so I was pretty much scared the whole time. But it strikes you that way, and now there's been this, in the literal sense on Easter, a rebirth of the appreciation. But another thing that goes unappreciated is, first off, all the money that was given. It was incredible to redo the cross so it looks so good. We need to get the people at Wikipedia to put a new picture up of the cross, not the old one with the rust stains on it.
I can take a look into that. Actually, I had recently found a posting online that wasn't quite appropriate for Bald Knob Cross, and I shot a message to the folks. They made a change within 2 hours.
Right, and they've got the old picture at Wikipedia, which I think this new beautiful white, porcelain
stuff.
Thanks for
pointing that out.
But, I don't mean to be, I'm not complaining.
Nope.
Not by any sense, but I am thinking of us. But there's this other undercurrent all the time of we have to do this, we have to keep maintenance, we want to keep the welcoming center open, we want to keep the merchandise open. It takes money to keep this going, and that is an ongoing effort.
Well, one thing that people see is a cross that's been renovated, and for many, that image is, well, everything must be okay. Everything must be done. There is ongoing support that occurs through key individuals, but we're trying to get everybody to understand this is a lifelong commitment. There are many other worthy causes people donate to. We have also the One for the Cross. It's a $1 per individual, per church. We ask for assistance there.
A big one.
Yeah, it is. We're trying to find more churches to partner with us because many churches haven't made that connection with Bald Knob Cross, even in Southern Illinois, surprisingly. Bring your Sunday school class up for lunch one Sunday. Learn about the history there and establish that relationship. We did something new in 2017. We established an online recurring donation option. Have it come straight off of your credit card or out of a bank account. Set it up so you that $10 a month makes a huge difference. We'll take $100 a month if you feel so inclined. But that then allows us to continue improving the grounds, making sure we have good merchandise, and establishing a savings for the future when invariably something's going to go wrong, whether it's the cistern, whether it's the visitor center roof. Yeah, you have insurance, but there's always deductibles.
And you're up on the top of a hill, exposure.
Right.
You know my favorite story? About the woman and the pigs. You want to tell the story? This is one of my favorite stories. And see, now here's the thing about this story, because I'm going to leave this on you, Frank. People of faith are abused in the media on a pretty regular basis now. You literally got Joy Behar mocking Christians in faith that you're talking to an imaginary guy in the sky when it comes to Mike Pence. But she wasn't talking about Pence. She was talking about me, and she was talking about you.
She sure was.
And faith is a real thing. If I was to talk to you about my faith and the way that it's displayed itself in my life, it's going to be different than Frank's. But this story, this woman had faith, and her family was really upset. She made a commitment to the cross, and they knew that she couldn't live up to it, and they were worried about it. And then something kind of unique happened because, well, back then we were a lot more rural and agricultural in nature.
Have you seen the picture
of her
and of that sow?
That litter.
Oh, my gosh. She trusted the Lord. She didn't know how, but she knew he would provide, and who would have thought that would have happened through a sow?
And so she had this pig, and it had the largest litter of pigs, thrown is the actual term, thrown this litter, and I don't know, it was like 40. I'm sorry, you know the number?
I don't remember the number offhand.
All I know is you have a hard time counting them, and there's not enough teats to go around.
Right.
Okay? And that this little miracle in the barnyard allowed her to live up to the financial obligation she'd done. While everybody ridiculed her, harassed her, maybe thought she wasn't so smart, and faith manifests itself in this unique way. And a lot of people say, well, it's just statistical. Well, yeah, whatever you want to call it.
You plant the seed. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, fertilize that seed and water it, and then the reaping of that faith will come.
Do you think that maybe that's what faith is about? It's the object that's been attacked so it grows. I often give this some thought. I call it, because see, you go on a list that I have in my own mind of what are people I call believers. And see, well, yeah, I believe. But no, there's a different kind. There's the adamant, forward-moving, that doesn't seem to be foiled. And I meet those people like you, and I gravitate towards you because sometimes I need that reassurance, I think, right? You rub shoulders with the right people, you get lifted up.
Absolutely.
And when, during this time right now, I wonder if we're not in some type of, I don't know, I just feel uneasy about it. Even now having this conversation, I'm thinking someone's probably thinking, oh, yeah, what a nitwit.
No, I don't think the nitwit piece, but the testing of our faith, that's in the Bible. And it sifts who really is a believer and committed to Christ, who has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, versus the label of the Christian. And I think this might be that sifting time. I am no theologian, and I don't have any grounds other than my faith to stand on in making that comment. But the trials of life are guaranteed. We're not promised there won't be trials, but we're promised Jesus will be there the whole time. And as we go through those trials, we have choices to make. Do we continue on our faith walk, or do we step away from it and think we can handle it on our own?
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? I can do it on my own because, see, you fall right in back into the God helps those who help themselves.
Right? Yeah, that's a nice, quaint little phrase, isn't it?
Right. You know, and so I've various people interpret it different ways. I haven't thought, well, that's because I've got part of God in me, and that's why that I help myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way I interpret it, and my mom will probably yell at me about this later if she's listening. But, you know, that I grew up in the McKinley Avenue Baptist Church. Right. And it's interesting because whenever I see a story about the Pope says there's no hell.
Oh, yeah. I saw that today.
Yesterday. And the Vatican's going, oh, hold on a second. maybe we should rephrase that. That it's an interesting time, we'll call it, for lack of a better word.
And you know what's interesting? When you delve into that surface announcement of something like that, you often find underneath there's a mischaracterization of what was actually said.
And that's interesting because when it was a preface on that article, this has been translated from the Italian.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. I've always thought about it, you know, as Robert Heinlein wrote in Strangers in a Strange Land, that when you're an evil person and you're reincarnated, but you have to go to the back of the line. I thought that was interesting. One for the cross. BaldKnobCross.com. You can do recurring donations if you'd like. They've got their fundraiser dinner that's coming up at Hedman Vineyards. That's coming up in July 28th. The Blessing of the Bikes. Frank will be there as well Sunday, April 29th. And, you know, this is a great place for other events, including if you'd like to have a wedding.
Yeah. Oh, and Teresa and Tanya have gone so far above and beyond to create new wedding packages and new experiences for something that really will be memorable and you can hold on to.
Those are people that are also worrying about whether all the drinks and coffee can make it up on the flatbed trailer to the top of the hill. All right? Every little thing, right? Yeah. These guys, great folks. Frank, I'm sorry I kept you so long, but I appreciate you coming on short notice.
My pleasure.
And good luck tomorrow on your speech, too.
All right. Well, okay? Sunday.
Excuse me, Sunday, day after tomorrow.
Spend tomorrow praying for me and praying that the rain goes away.